The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Every morning, Taryn Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our live feed update for March 15th. But this is a special live feed update because it's not just a live feed update. We will also be talking about last night's episode of Big Brother Canada 6. This was the veto episode, so very excited to be doing that. And I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong. With me today are two great people. First, I've got Puya with me. How are you doing, Puya?
I'm good, man. And unlike Liana, I will not be covering my ears because it's going to be a good episode and a lot to talk about today.
All right. Also with me this morning is Brent. How you doing, Brent?
I'm up. Can you believe it? It's 10 a.m. and somehow I am with the real world right now. How is this possible?
I don't know. Is this really the real world? Is that a thing?
It's the real deal. That's what it is.
All right. Well, we are here to talk about the Wednesday night episode first. So we will be avoiding spoilers for now and just quickly recap what we saw on the episode. And then afterward, we will get into the spoilers, the live feed update for yesterday, what happened on the feeds, all of that, all of the stuff that you know and love from the live feed update. So let's first talk about this episode. We got to see Ryan, you know, in the previous episode, it looked like he might actually be a smart person that's playing the game well. In this episode, it seems like everything came crashing down, Puya.
Yeah, Ryan kind of giving us that whole Dr. Robotnik realness preseason with the whole villain role. And now he's just a hot mess role is what he slipped into. He was all over the place this episode, all over the place. And it's not even a fraction of what we've truly seen behind the scenes. But it kind of did show us that this guy's a bit of a mess. And I think his DRs for me personally, what I was getting is that he is trying to feed us this narrative of, I had a plan this entire time. I wanted this backdoor plan the entire time. And the $5,000 is the only thing that ruined it. So I'm done with Ryan, to be honest. Brett, what do you think?
Yeah, well, let me help you out, Taryn. The first episode was a sham, okay? The first episode was a sham, and this episode was reality. And it was actually a pretty mild reality compared to what we know the reality to be. I agree with Puya that Ryan really has no self-perception at all. If he can't see that the $5,000 had absolutely nothing to do with it, absolutely nothing to do with the fact that these people all went hard for the veto, then he is just smoking crack because how he cannot walk into that room, and we saw this a couple times on the feeds, but how he could walk into that room, as you saw on the show, and talk in front of Olivia, who he knows to be his own target, and try to convince her that it doesn't matter who wins the veto, just let one of the nominees win the veto, because they'll still go home anyway. The whole plan made no sense, and of course, he got caught, is what happened, and he was trying to backpedal furiously. You know, when he talked at the end, or maybe it was the beginning, I can't remember, about a duck. He's a duck who's, you know, quiet on top and he's paddling furiously underneath. Well, we could see all of the paddling, Ryan. It wasn't a mystery to anybody.
Yes, I tweeted out the gif of an upside down duck. He's the opposite of what he's saying he is. And The idea that, this idea that like, $5,000, that was the thing that really messed me up. Nothing I could have done. What a shame. It's a little silly. So Ryan, we see him, go about doing this plan. As Brent, you mentioned that he went to this, to the Red Room, and he talked to everyone saying, look, this is what's best for your game. You need to throw the veto. I've seen 26 seasons of this show. This is all stuff that if you are a regular live feed update, viewer or listener, then, we've said it many a time, and this was the scene. Given the responses I got on Twitter, I think that they accurately represented what we've been watching. A lot of people were like, man, I didn't realize that this is what you guys have been having to sit through for so long. I really feel for you, Puya.
Yeah, it's painful, and I'm glad people share our pain now, or at least understand a fraction of it. For me, the beauty of it is 26 seasons clearly doesn't grasp all of that really well. And then I don't think the guys watched any Survivor, because his whole stick to the plan shtick that he was doing in that room with everyone was just nonsensical. Watching him try to convince Johnny, Jesse, and Erica not to win the veto and his reasonings for it were awful. I know we're going to get to it in the live feed updates later. But it's interesting how all of this is getting Ryan to be, and how he's going to be moving forward in this house with other people.
I'll say really quickly that he got a little bit unlucky with the veto draw. I mean, talk about three competitive people who all really, really wanted to win and are not in favor of throwing competitions in Johnny, Erica, and Jesse. So I'll give him a pass on that. Having said that, as I said before to you previously on a podcast, Taryn, for him to go to everybody and try to orchestrate this all without telling them the second part of the plan, or some people didn't even know the second part of the plan. They were just told to throw the veto and we'll see what happens. I'll make a move. It was destined to fail from the beginning. Again, he's setting himself up for failure by putting in motion bad plans that just never had a chance.
Yeah. Poor play here. And his plans are just going to completely fall flat. But we get into this veto competition, which is the Tomb Raider veto competition, and this was a pretty cool looking veto competition.
Gorgeous.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Amazing. Gorgeous, stunning, Puya. I mean, as I've complained about Big Brother Canada many times, but the thing they do great is their sets and their comps look amazing. I was stunned. This when Erica said, like, it looks like we're on a movie set, or maybe it was Jesse who said we're on a movie set, it did look like they were on a movie set. It looked really, really wonderful.
Yeah, no, I love the way Big Brother Canada does their comps. Both the formatting and the design itself. I mean, we did get to see a little bit of fire again this time around, which I have no problem with. I really liked how it started off with you have to untie yourself, then you have to use the bow and arrow. That was very nicely added. And then doing the search, I feel like we've seen that before, like with BB Can 2 and the potatoes. That was kind of similar. But then doing all that to get a code and then go to do a puzzle, then do a code. This was like everything you want in a comp put together, and it was really done well. I feel bad when we get this veto comp, the very endurance and running and physical veto comp, when the two biggest dudes are there and they really want to win it and no one else wants them to, and it's just like, well, we know you guys aren't. And let's talk about the veto beast that is Hamza, killing this comp, winning all the vetoes, all the HOHs. He's amazing. True.
Yeah, well, he was actually pretty funny during it. I enjoyed him very much. I enjoyed everybody in this competition, actually. This competition reminded me very much of Survivor. It just had various parts to it. There's been Survivor competitions where people have been tied up before, have to untie themselves, have to, get... I flash back to Brandon from Survivor Africa trying to fire that arrow when Johnny was trying to get a handle on the bow and arrow there. It looked exactly the same to me, especially when he doinked one of the arrows down at his feet. But it was just really wonderful to see, and I it's so amazing to me that the competitions in Big Brother Canada look like they are designed by someone who won an Academy Award for set design, and then the competitions in Big Brother USA look like finger paints. So how is that happening? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, maybe the U.S. version really does have a better grasp of their budgeting constraints. And, you know, maybe that's one of Canada's issues. Who knows? Mm-hmm. We also saw that deadly smoke that that Andrew was like rolling in half the competition. And I assume that is what ended up damaging his lungs, causing him to I believe they needed to wheel him out at some point get him some medic
he was
help.
Tired get in shape honey
well oh, they look, I would agree with you. I would say this is probably nothing, but the fact that they shut the feeds down for more than a day to avoid any talk of this getting out tells me maybe it was something a little more serious.
They shut the feeds down for days all the time last season, and there wasn't any Andrew in the house, so it just happens on Big Brother Canada.
All right.
I think a little bit of it also had to do with the whole Twister thing. I think Hasbro being a sponsor, that's got to be a little bit of that day. I do agree that like that whole smoke thing was probably half of it, but I think Twister is something that stole from us as well.
But Taryn, at the end of the competition, we get Alicia Vikander, Academy Award winning Alicia Vikander. Gorgeous, and I thought that the whole tie-in with Tomb Raider was very, very cool.
Yeah, the you know, actors coming on and you know, talking about Vito's was weird.
Especially seeing
you know, Boyd Crowder and all of the other roles that that dude's played. I can't remember his name right now, but now he's talking about Power of Vito's. So that's
weird. Right? Like, I'm used to it when like, you know, the people from Scrubs are on there and they're.
Hey, what's wrong with Scrubs?
I'm just saying, but to see like, you know, an actual movie star up there talking about the Power of Vito, it was a little bit jarring.
Yeah, and also the costumes or whatever you want to call them that they had on for the competition were great. Erica looked very you know, Lara Croft-esque. So that was really cool. And also, like, how fitting is it that that in the Tomb Raider competition, Erica is the only woman against all these dudes, and she ends up winning it? It's just it's poetry.
Oh, yeah. And Puya, it was not lost on the other house guests how well she did in this competition.
No, this has definitely put her in notice. A lot of people have recognized her abilities in more than one way. And it's going to carry her in some ways moving forward.
Yes. All right. So we also, as we talked about, we got that Twister game. That was fun. That was a fun part of the episode, right? I did tweet out that, you know, if this is a twist, it's the best twist in Big Brother Canada history, in my opinion.
Oh, that's why. Yeah, you wanted to complain about the twist. Okay, I'm with you now. All right. All right. Makes sense. I was like, why are you bringing this up? You never bring up, like, pithy stuff like this.
Then we get Hamza trying to convince Erica to, well, both Hamza and Ryan, but I don't think Ryan ever had any chance, but Hamza trying to convince Erica to use the veto on him. They end up having a nice kind of moment. They do have a bond. A lot of people seem to like Hamza. It's very interesting because he came into this game talking about, like, I'm a lone wolf, I'm gonna be messing stuff up, and he apparently was very aggressive out of the gate, but he's sort of become the sort of genuine nice guy that people seem to love in the house, and that's not really where I expected him to be. Puya.
No, and I don't think he expected to truly be there. I can't help but go back to the whole Adele comparison that a lot of people are making. I definitely feel like he's starting to fall into that role with the added difference that, unlike Adele, he doesn't care. I feel like Adele cared. Adele tried to be the nice guy. Hamza just kind of fell into it. He's lovable. He's easy to talk to. People get along with him. They know he's a straight shooter, so they feel very comfortable just talking to him about anything, bouncing ideas off of him about anything. And it's been working. Honestly, it's been working to his benefit, especially sitting next to Andrew this week. The guy volunteered to go on the block, and he's probably safer than ever. So it's just an amazing thing to see, honestly.
Yeah, I really feel like he is a lone wolf, and he's a little bit of an idiot, but he's their lone wolf, and he's their idiot. So I feel like that's why he's sort of endearing himself to the house right now. And I don't think there's anybody in the house right now that if you said, you know, who do you want to evict? I'll give you a magic wand, whatever, pick Hamza.
Yeah. So then Ryan takes his shot as well at convincing Erica to use the veto. And that's a no go. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. He wouldn't even tell her who he was going to put up.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he's talking about Maddie, like he's going to put Maddie up. Like, come on.
I think he was trying to hoodwink her. And like, yeah. Like, let's say that goes through. Let's say she's dumb enough to use the veto, Puya, and he gets her to use it, and then he names Olivia as the nominee, not really Maddie. He tries to hoodwink Erica. First of all, I don't think Olivia goes home. And two, I'm sorry, I don't think Olivia goes home. And two, he's made a total enemy out of Erica, and she's going to tell everybody what happened, and his word is going to mean nothing.
Yeah, I mean, he got lucky because his game's already been shot. He's already messed up. He's lucky they didn't use the veto because it would have just sank him a lot deeper. So I think it worked out for him ultimately based on the mess he's already created. And his whole idea of not telling people exactly what he wants to do was sketchy. He's a mess. He's a walking mess. I don't know what Tragic Bronson is doing in this house right now.
I mean, Taryn, he just walks around saying, you know, well, just trust me, trust the process, trust the plan, stick to the plan. I mean, when you're not telling us the plan, it's hard to trust you, you know?
Maybe in his life, he's used to like just being the smart one and people just kind of trust him for plans. I don't know like what this is, but in the Big Brother house, people are not just going to trust you. People are.
Okay, I have a question for you guys. Do you really think that he has watched the feeds on Big Brother, or has he just watched the show the entire time?
He's a show watcher for sure.
Yeah. Okay. 800 hours, just that math alone. I know I'm not saying he's a math whiz, but just that math alone, he has not watched the feeds.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So Erica ultimately decides not to use the power of veto. So one of Andrew or Hamza will be going home tonight on the live eviction episode. And we will be live to recap that episode after it airs. So make sure you tune in for that. Is there anything else from the episode you guys wanted to bring up?
Yes, sadly.
Yes.
I'm worried. Guys, I'm worried that we got a rap segment, and then as it was changing scene, we heard them say, "This is our thing now."
Oh yeah.
I hope it's not. I don't want this to be a thing. The rapping's atrocious. I'm not here for it. I mean, I'd probably take it. Well, okay, let's see. Okay. Would you take the rap or Twister every week? Which one would you prefer?
Oh, that's tough. I don't know. Don't make me choose. I just like she is such an idiot when she does it. I mean, she's just terrible. And then, of course, people try to keep up with her and they're even worse than she is. Oh, like it takes real mother effing talent to rap just like at a moment's notice.
Yeah,
like,
to freestyle it.
Yes, it's just that's just insanity. I've seen people do that and they're insanely talented and she is not one of them.
Yeah, in my opinion, if you want to freestyle on the Big Brother feeds, you'd better either be an actual rapper or Chicken George. Otherwise, there's no other person that should be doing this on the live feeds. And now it's on the show. Now this is she was what, like wearing like a skirt and a like a bra as she was doing like what are you doing, Veronica? we also did get the Perry is their showman's name. Oh my. Paris and Jesse segment where they talked about how they, you know, they kind of like each other, but they need to be hands off. And we got a lot of confirmation from Paris in the diary room that like she is actually very into to Jesse here.
Yeah, she's hot for him. They're hot for each other. Let's be clear about it. He's also really hot for her. And somehow she has the wherewithal to keep her hands to herself for the integrity of her game. She's like, I didn't come into this house to throw my game away for some dude. She even said that to him, which I thought was kind of funny. I admire it because it's tough. You're in there with these 13, 14 other people and you have no one else to talk to. And this guy's really cool. He's really cute. He's gorgeous. And he's really sweet too. Jesse's a sweet guy. And to, you know, be able to sort of block off your natural urges and, you know, she knows she could do it and no one would blink an eye, but it would put a massive target on her. And right now that target is relatively small, especially if you look at it through the lens of her and Jesse. I don't think anybody views them as a pair like they do with Derek and Kayla. I feel like she's doing an admirable job.
Yeah. And as long as they're able to hold back, they're good. I feel like once they open the floodgates, we're talking one peck and it's done. Like they're on top of each other.
Yeah.
That's how close they're flying into the sun right now. So hopefully they can avoid it a little longer.
Yes. All right. Well, I think that's all we've got for you when it comes to the episode last night. So if you are not a usual live feed update listener, then now is your chance to tune out. We're going to be talking about spoilers. We're going to be talking about everything that happened on the feeds yesterday. So you won't even get the full context of things. You're just going to get a recap of one day. But it's very fun. I suggest you guys join us in the future. You get a lot more information than you usually do, and you'll have a lot more context for viewing this stuff on the show. But let's get into this now. We started the day yesterday, and we had Allie and Olivia still unaware at the moment, at the time, that the house is starting to turn on them. They're blissfully unaware. They're still talking about, like, man, everyone's targeting Ryan, but I feel like that's a waste. We should be protecting Ryan. That they're still, like, 3 days behind. But they are starting to get a little bit sketched out by Paris, which is a little bit in the right direction. They do trust Will. They think Will is would never turn on them. Will, while they had this conversation, was somewhere else saying, I can't wait for Allie and Olivia to go. So they're a bit behind there as well. But they want Veronica out. That's the person that they feel out the most. They want Veronica over Ryan or Marin, and they're trying to figure out how to make that happen. So a bit behind the eight ball here, Brent.
Yeah, the information gap is stunning to me. I really, really was amazed that this hasn't really gotten out to them very much, that they might be in trouble. Puya, I think that Olivia must be the most blissfully ignorant person in the house. She's still, like, I mean, I know that Paris was on her lips somewhere, but I heard her distinctly say, well, we don't need to worry about her or Will for now. We can sort of use them for now and then get rid of them later on. Olivia, you're the one who's going to be used, and it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, no, Olivia's meandering her way through this, and it's pretty bad, because I feel like Allie and Olivia are still kind of under the understanding that the house will back up a newbie's put up. Just put the newbies up. Like, they were talking about this earlier when the newbies first got in, and Jesse was kind of saying, okay, we can flush whatever power they have, it'll be safe. And I feel like they still kind of want to do that because they think they can keep the peace. What they're not realizing is a lot of other people have smartened up to realize that it's a room versus room situation that we're getting to. And they already know where the lines are drawn. They know where they're going to go to battle. Whereas Olivia is trying to, I think, maybe keep optimistic or just play ignorant or just is ignorant to the fact that they are really not looking good right now.
Yeah, well, it's room versus room, but within the seven, and I lose track of who's in what room, but like Olivia and Allie are part of the same group that holds Derek and Kayla. And I know that Kayla specifically has been nervous about Allie saying that she might view Derek and Kayla as a threat, Taryn.
Yes. Well, there are two reasons for this. One is that Ryan, when he talked to everybody, basically let all of that information spill. So
okay, let me stop you right there. I listened to this conversation later on in the day between Allie and Ryan, and she's point blank asked him, like, you know, where is this coming from? He sort of pitter-pattered around it a little bit and said, well, I didn't outright say anything. I mean, girl, that's your answer right there. If he can't unequivocally say that it did not come from me, okay, he's the one, okay? So that's who your problem is. Stop trusting Ryan. Okay.
Yes. So basically, Ryan had let Jesse know that Allie had mentioned Derek and Kayla's name at some point. And then also the other thing is that Paris yesterday, as we talked about on yesterday's update, was talking to Kayla and let her know about basically her theories, which she states as fact, about Olivia coming for them and then Allie sort of being very worried about them. It's kind of funny because a lot of this was like Allie really was talking about Derek and Kayla behind their backs. She was talking with people, talking about being sketched out by them, talking about eventually turning on them. None of that really came out. It was the relatively innocuous statements she made a few days ago to Ryan that sunk her boat with Jesse, and that information got getting out. And then Paris's paranoia about stuff that wasn't necessarily true about Olivia that kind of stuck to Allie and came out. So later in the day, when Allie eventually finds out that people are worried about her coming after Derek and Kayla, instead of thinking like, oh, well, this is not true, this is based on something that's false, which it kind of is, she was like, oh my God, how did they find out? I barely told anyone. I've been like thinking about it in my mind. How did this happen?
Right.
Which is very funny.
I know, right? So it's like she's hearing something that is technically true, but the way that it came about is not the way that she thinks it does. But she's basically admitting guilt to it to herself, even though what they're, you know, what they're using to convict her with is not the same evidence that she has thinking about in her head. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
It's very, well, very, very funny.
I wanted to ask Puya what he thinks about Paris, because, you know, I know that you said that she is paranoid, obviously paranoid about Olivia coming after her because of the whole Jesse thing. But she also told us in a room that she realizes that she's paranoid. She realizes that this may be in her head, but she's also, I love Paris in this, because she's like, I'll be damned if I'm going to let that girl get me out of the house. Like, Paris is willing to go down with the ship as long as she can get Olivia out of the house. Mm-hmm. Booyah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Paris. I love watching her on the feeds. I feel like Paris is someone who is in the driver's seat of her own car, but is really, and like really knows where she's going, but she understands that this game goes this, like, turns left and right.
She's driving the bus over Olivia.
Yeah, and she's really trying to stay on track. And she does have these problems. She does have these moments. The jealousy does seep in sometimes. She does react to it, but she really tries to hold back. And I think we've seen that with the way she's interacting with Jesse and the way she's trying to keep that at bay. We're also seeing that in the way she's going after Olivia. She doesn't want to be beat by Olivia. She doesn't want to be gone out by Olivia because of a man. That is not okay. As long as she can do that, she's fine with it, and she doesn't want it to be from a point of jealousy. She wants herself to understand and us to understand that it's from a point of, I just will never forgive myself if this is why I'm out of the house.
Yeah, she's trying to control her story, Taryn. She does not want the ending of her dream BB Can life in Big Brother Canada 6 to be, I was evicted by a girl who was jealous of my showmance. That's what, she cannot handle that above anything else. If anything else happens and she's evicted for, you know, like it's an instant eviction and somehow she goes home, she's okay with that. But she's not going to let Olivia get her out of the house. I'm a little worried about that. But on the other hand, if you can view it through another lens and say, at least she's somewhat single focused on somebody who, she's kind of right. Olivia does not really view Paris as an asset. She's sort of just willing to bide her time for now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, the only person I've heard anything about Jesse or jealousy or whatever from in the, you know, the week that the feeds have been up has been Paris. I haven't heard a word of it from Olivia. At best, it's been Olivia like, should I go for it? Like, I'm not sure. But Paris feels like she really senses something, and that's, she's just been, you know, spouting that out around all the time.
Did you hear Olivia talking to Allie yesterday saying that she talked with Paris in order to give her a false sense of security? Like she went to him and went to her and asked her the whole thing about, give me your blessing so I can, you know, make my play at Jesse. But she did it in such a way that she just wanted to hoodwink Paris. So, I mean, isn't there some validity to what Paris is feeling?
And that's what I'm saying. Where like Olivia is coming after Paris to some extent. Like Paris is somebody that is on Olivia's radar. I just haven't seen any of that. I haven't seen the reasoning for that being Jesse, and it very well could be, because like maybe she is jealous of Jesse or of Paris and Jesse, and you know, she just, it won't say that out loud.
It seems to be I mean, every time I hear Paris Puya talk, it's always about like, oh, she gave me this dirty look, or she caught us, you know, talking with each other in a room and gave me a mean girl look or something. Yes, there's so much that's, you know, done non-verbally in the Big Brother game. You really have to be careful.
Yeah, I feel like we got a similar thing with Ryan's whole reasoning for Olivia was, Olivia never talked to me. I walk in, she's like barely looking at me. And I think Olivia doesn't understand that she does give off these vibes. There was this one clip I saw of Olivia giving Paris like a back rub and rolling her eyes in front of Paris, like behind Paris. It's like Olivia can't control these things at all. And it's difficult. It's difficult to navigate the game when you are like that and you can't control what emotions you're showing, because perception is reality. So it's not looking good for her in that sense. And Paris has definitely caught on to it. I feel like body language is something as well that we should be looking into. And someone like Olivia, again, we talked about how Paris is really holding herself back from Jesse, really holding herself back from like being this person, and is understanding if she does end up giving in and talks to us about it later. Whereas Olivia, I feel like, does half of these things without noticing she's doing them, and it's really hurting her because she doesn't have to say something for us to feel something.
Right.
Yes. And so this Ali Olivia negativity is starting to culminate with both sides of the house, really. Erica and Jesse have a talk where they talk about, you know, Ali is sketchy. Jesse talks about the Ryan thing and how he told him about Ali trying to make a secret alliance with Ryan. And now Ali's defending Ryan and all of this stuff. Paris and Jesse talk about Olivia, and Paris is saying, look, Olivia's jealous. She's coming after me. And Jesse's like, I don't know. I feel like you don't have to worry about that. And she's like, no, this is real.
No!
It's like, okay. Well, I'm all in on the real deal. So we're good. We're fine with this. Just make sure we're hiding this from everyone. At one point during the day, they talked about Paris switching over to the Red Room. And he was like, well, you know, you could have Maddie sleep with Marin. That way you could be with me. And she was like, no. That's I would not be able to control myself. That is not a good thing.
That was my favorite line. Yes, I would not be able to control myself. And I'm like, I'm with you, girl. I'm with you. I feel it.
And then Paris talks to the cameras a couple times throughout the day. The basic gist of what she was saying was she wants to protect all of her allies, meaning Will, Maddie, and then also Derek, Kayla, Jesse. And so that's what she's kind of doing. She's pitting two sides of the house against each other, but also uniting them together with one common target being Maddie and Ali. And she's been also doing a lot of work to make sure that, you know, Derek and Kayla are protected when it comes to Will and Maddie, and also Will and Maddie are protected when it comes to Derek and Kayla. And she's been doing a pretty good job of it. Not so much with protecting Derek and Kayla with Will and Maddie, but Derek and Kayla do trust Will and Maddie, and they are starting to feel like they want to bring Will and Maddie in on a new seven kind of thing, with the real deal as the core of it. So that's what she's doing there. She also thinks that she may need to win HOH next week, which concerns me greatly because that would be terrible for her game, I think. Although now that she's gotten everybody on board with Ali and Olivia, I think she could come away somewhat unscathed. Booyah.
Yeah, I think she would definitely be able to come out of it unscathed. However, I feel like the fact that she's planted so many seeds and the fact that she's been able to point everyone in the direction of those two makes even more sense for her not to win. Just stay under for a little bit longer, not have to show her hand, really. I mean, maybe people will talk eventually. Everyone will come around to, okay, it was Paris who led us this way. But I think she's done a very good job. It's terrifying, though, watching her. I'm not going to lie, because it feels like she's balancing a lot of things. I'm just hoping the House of Cards doesn't fall down on her. And as long as she doesn't win HOH, I don't think it's gonna. So she should be good for now.
Well, I feel like she's safe. And I did not feel this way 2 days ago when we did a podcast, Taryn, but I do feel like she's safer today than she was 2 days ago. And this is why, because Jesse and Erica couldn't even tell each other whether or not the seven was a real thing. So I believe that things are really, really fluid in the house right now. So even though we view it as this side versus this side, and there are some people in the house that view it as the red room versus the right white room, I don't feel like it would be some revelation to Derek and Kayla if they knew that Paris has a good friendship with Will and Maddie and would like to protect them generally over other people, and the same vice versa with Will and Maddie, insofar as Derek and Kayla go. So I feel like that she would be able to blur the lines a little bit if that ever sort of came to, you know, fruition in front of everybody and escape. Having said that, I agree with Puya that she shouldn't win HOH this week, but she's really fearful of Olivia, although she shouldn't be, because Olivia's not going to put up Paris. Olivia's going to be the newbies. Let's put up the newbies. It's not even a plan anymore with most people.
Yeah, it's interesting because Paris has done a very good job of bringing in, you know, Will and Maddie into the fold of the Derek, Kayla, Jesse, you know, contingent. And that, and she's also been able to, the other person that she's spilled a lot of information to is Veronica. She's been able to bring Veronica into the fold as well.
Final two, Taryn.
Yes. So you know, Derek and Kayla feel like they can work with Veronica, even though Veronica, as we'll talk about, was talking about putting up Kayla and potentially targeting her. And so really the only thing that is hidden from Derek and Kayla, as far as Paris is concerned, is that when they ask, like, oh, who is Hamza targeting? Who is Veronica targeting? Paris is like, you know, probably just Allie and Olivia or something like that. You know, I don't think they're going to come after you. The only way that she could get in trouble is if, you know, Veronica wins HOH and she's like, ah, ha, ha, Kayla, you're on the block. And, Paris knew about it. And then, Paris might be in a little bit of trouble, but then, Kayla might be going home. So might not matter anymore.
Yeah. So, I was just going to say really quickly, insofar as that goes, do you think that if, let's say Veronica wins HOH, which I think I would actually love, do you think that Paris would be able to point her in the direction that she wants her and get her off of at least one of the two?
It's interesting. I think that Paris is definitely going to try, and I think she'll. I think you asked me this question on the roundtable, and I think I said that.
Sorry, my dementia.
It's changed. My answer has changed because I do think that Paris will try very hard to protect Derek and Kayla at this point. However, there will be a lot of opposition when it comes to Marin and Hamza and all of them. Puya, what do you think? Who do you think will win this war of influence?
With Veronica, it's interesting because I feel like Veronica could go where the wind blows. However, I think with Paris, they've been forming this bond, or at least it seems that way. I think she does hang out with Hamza and Marin more, but also she's talked about wanting to kind of distance herself from Marin. I mean, if she's smart enough, and that's giving her way too much credit already, she should realize that she should probably listen to Paris because the other two have been seemingly on the outs. Maybe not so much she knows with Mary, but she knows Hamza's been on the outs for a while now. So I would think that Paris will put up a good case and Veronica might give in and would listen to it. I would lean towards Paris over listening to Hamza.
I think the key is for Paris to paint at least putting one of Olivia and Allie up on the block, namely Olivia, obviously. She would like to get them both up, but mainly Olivia, as a big move. Because that's the thing with Veronica. She wants to make big moves, honey. She's here. She feels like she needs to make aggressive moves because she's here, you know, a day late and a dollar short insofar as coming in the house. And she wants to, she's tired of the house playing soft. She keeps saying, I don't know how many times she said that, umpteen people in various different rooms about, you know, this is, she hates the fact that everyone's going with the house and that they're all playing soft, and she's not here to play soft. She wants to play a big game, a mighty game. And so I feel like that if Paris can paint the move to get Olivia out that way, then maybe she could sell it.
Yes. So Veronica, she really does start doing the rounds. She talks to a lot of people during the day. She talks to Marin, and like I talked about, she at first was like, oh, I'll nominate Allie and Olivia. Marin's like, no, we should be targeting the showmance. And she's like, oh, yeah, you're right. That is a good idea. I liked what Hamza said about that. I would put up Kayla and Olivia or something like that. So she's on board there. Then, like, right after that conversation, she has a conversation with Kayla about potentially working with Kayla. And Kayla's like, I really like you. I think we should work together. I think Allie is really sketchy. They're talking about targeting Allie. Kayla says, Allie is coming for you. You need to be careful. This is the truth. I don't know if Veronica believes what Kayla is saying at the moment, but at this point, Veronica feels like she is on top of the game and she gets to just go around and lie to everybody. So after Kayla, she goes and she talks with Paris, and she's like making a final two with Paris and like, yes, we're on board. We're going to go after these people. Then she talks to Erica and, you know, about like, oh, we got to make big moves and it's going to be great. We got to be bold. And Erica's just like, Okay. Uh-huh. Yep. Okay. We're good. Yeah. And then she also talks to Allie. And they have a kind of an awkward conversation there as well.
Awkward is yes. the word. Yes. By the way, I figured out who Veronica is. She's actually Donald Trump. She just, because she just does the last thing the person she talks to, whoever she talks to last, that's what she does. So she's like, oh, you want Allie? I'm going to nominate Allie. Oh, you want Derek and Kayla? Okay. The showman's it is. Like, that's all she does. I laughed at my political humor there.
It was very, very, very well put, Brent. Thank you. Yes.
I can always appreciate you, Puya. Count on you.
Yes. So Veronica right now is all over the place, and she's, you know, making allies with people that she's planning on targeting, and, you know, so on and so forth. Who knows what's going to happen with her in the coming weeks? But Kayla, then this really starts the second half of the night. This whole thing happens with Allie and everything, and Johnny. It starts with Kayla talking with Johnny. And she is, Johnny is essentially the last person in the seven to know, okay, we're turning on Allie and Olivia.
Again, he's always the last to know. Yes. But nobody wants to target him. Anyway.
And so she's starting to say, like, Allie talked about targeting me and Derek, and Olivia, she's jealous of Paris and she's going after Paris. So, like, we're feeling really sketched out by them. And Johnny's like, well, I've talked to them and that's not what they're saying at all. This is kind of confusing. And so they're starting to have this conversation. Then more of the seven come in to the room, and it just becomes an Allie Olivia bashing session at this point. Like, oh yeah, these two are the worst. We got to be targeting them. And then Allie walks in and the doll shuts down, and they're like, anyway, about the thing, and Allie goes to Kayla and she's like, what were you guys talking about me? Did you just like hush around me when I came into the room? And Kayla's, oh no, we were talking about Ryan Andrew. We were talking about Andrew and how Andrew's been pitching to stay. That has been happening. Andrew's been pitching to stay, but it's not going to go anywhere. Andrew's been pitching himself to stay in the house, and Allie's like, okay, who was he pitching to? Like you and like some other people too. We're that's what we were talking about.
It's always tough, Puya, to fake not talking about something when you're in a group of people. If it's just like me and you, or maybe me, you, and like Taryn in a room together, somebody walks in, we can change the conversation quickly to something where it's not obvious what we were talking about, or shut down a conversation and make it look really awkward. But when, you know, there are more people in the room, two things happen. Number one, it's impossible to pull it off. And number two, all of those people see your trick. And so you have to have a new trick the next time those people walk in the room. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're getting caught with your pants down. You have to pull up real quick. It's not easy. It's definitely
exactly
not easy.
It
yeah. And like, you know, it's one of those things where like your initial gut instinct is, so my hands have been looking real clammy today. Like, it's just nonsense that you're trying to segue into. And that really doesn't help, because it's not good. Allie, I think, noticed that, and Allie started just breaking up conversations yesterday. Just walking into room by room, and just conversations were stopping. So if anything, I think she probably has an inkling by now, safe to say. And I mean, Andrew pitching was the worst thing to talk about, because we all know it's a foregone conclusion, or we all supposedly know. So bringing this up again and making it seem like it's a grand thing that eight of us need to discuss is never a good thing. So just bad, just bad.
Taryn, I have a question for you. So if Allie goes home this week, let's just say she ends up on the block and in real danger, where did she go wrong? What is it, just Ryan and that plan getting out, or is she just not sociable enough with people? Because I did feel like maybe even 2 days ago that she was not even in the vicinity of the block as far as I was concerned. And now it looks like she might be in trouble.
Well, I think we talked about it on the roundtable that she had a decent amount of strategic connections, but very little personal connections. She didn't really bond with anyone on a personal level. Olivia is the person that's probably closest to her, and Olivia also has zero personal connections in the house. Yeah. So nobody really, I guess Johnny, as we'll talk about, is like the one person that feels somewhat obligated to let her in on some information, because he actually likes her. But other than that, it's really even Ryan, who she's been trying to strategically pick up, it doesn't feel a sense of loyalty to her. He doesn't like feel right. a friendship with her. And ultimately, when that is the case, and then she is trying to make moves by picking people like Ryan up and, you know, making secret moves like that and going behind people's backs, you know, it was decent gameplay. I like the idea of picking up the, you know, the person that's being ostracized, but she really just, when you don't have the personal connections to lean on, when you're busy juggling things over here, all the balls over there have all fallen. And now, you know, now everyone's after you. So
yeah, I think she's a little cold. Do you feel like that from Allie?
Yeah. I think she just doesn't have that welcoming, warm kind of persona in her. And when she does try, it kind of comes off a little artificial. At least that's what I've been kind of picking up on. And it's not really as easy for people to feel comfortable around her. It's very easy with someone like that. You always kind of not feel standoffish necessarily, but you feel like you can never be your authentic self because it almost comes off a little bit judgmental. So I think that's just the problem, is just that's her body language, or that's her like perception in body language.
Well, yeah, you might go ahead.
And when Ryan asked Marin, who would you put up? Allie was the person that Marin singled out as the one person that just didn't seem interested in him or interested in letting him in at all. So it does seem to be the perception.
Yeah, I think that she might get lucky though, because Paris has such a a vendetta against Olivia that even if they end up on the block together, I think she might be safe.
Well, yeah, and I think Olivia is even worse at this. I think all of Allie's faults are amplified in Olivia. The only difference is that Olivia knows less about the game and so is a less dangerous player when it comes to everything else. Like nobody, you know, it's not getting out that Olivia has been talking about Derek and Kayla, because Olivia doesn't really talk about anyone except for occasionally Paris.
By the way, I want to ask you really quickly too. So Puya, Ryan has played really horrible all week long. He's going to be evicted next, right?
No.
Nobody is talking about Ryan anymore. Even though he played utterly terrible all week long, he's going to get off the hook. That's what I'm trying to make a point at.
For all the sketchy things he did, all this stick to the plan nonsense, the mansplaining Big Brother to people, the horrible rapping, which he was the worst. And spoiler alert to everyone, Hamza is doing a eviction rap tonight. Shout out Dominic, Dominique out there. And I watched a clip of Ryan trying to give him some lines, and it was very cringe. So don't go looking for that. No, I think it's funny because Ryan kind of got to this point where like he was the next target. The target was getting bigger and bigger, and now he's just there. He's like the easy one-pointer. People want to go for the threes. They want to go for the touchdowns. He's the easy kick. Like, no one's going to be concerned with him moving forward. And right now with these divisions, kind of people are actually thinking about trying to scoop him up. Erica was talking yesterday and talking about how she would prefer to have someone like Ryan in the game for the jury, because Ryan will be someone who will understand the game, vote for a player, and then even if he supports you, we'll try and like vouch for your game and explain your game to other people in jury is what.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. She also brought up jury management, which I can't ever remember having heard in the house before. No. I think like they view him as like the Spencer now. Like we could always throw him up there as a pawn, but nobody has any real interest in evicting. To me, it just shows everything is about timing in Big Brother. Just like in life, everything's about timing, because Andrew pulled some of the same shit last week and tried to, you know, switch the house to whatever, played horribly, and he's paying the price for it this week and will be evicted. Ryan, on the other hand, played horribly this week, probably even worse than Andrew because he had more power and still managed to screw it up, and yet he's coasting next week. No one's looking at him.
Yeah, and he got really lucky, Brent, in my opinion, because with the gate crashers coming in, that's two new variables. And then now all the dynamics are kind of tightening a little bit. The house has been very fluid, that we can say with certainty. But these pairings kind of coming around, people are looking at Allie Olivia as like a pair. People are looking at Derek and Kayla as like this potential showmans. People have these eyes on, you know, Marion and Veronica being a thing, Hamza being a thing and that. So the relationships culminating now are becoming bigger than this one dummy who like tried to force his hand in the house and piss people off. Yeah. Sure, people are pissed now, but there are bigger fish to fry as of this point.
Yeah, and that's I think that's what I am really enjoying about this cast is that I think on, you know, this cast and the fact that, you know, nothing has interfered and made them, you know, do anything unfortunate yet. But like most of the time when this kind of thing happens, like Andrew does like think about Big Brother 16 when Devin, he makes this wild play as HOH. He tries to backdoor Zach. And then after that, it's just a slow walk until we finally get rid of Devin because, you know, Derek is in charge and this battle of the block just to keep everything nice and calm. Whereas this is more like I think Big Brother 17, where, you know, there's like big alliances forming, but even though Audrey goes kind of crazy, Audrey isn't necessarily the next person evicted because there's still a lot of other stuff happening. This is almost like Big Brother 17 if there were multiple Vanessas, like people just all over the place trying to wreck big alliances. You know, they're trying to make what I don't remember what the moon, what it was something moon, it was the 7-person or the 8-person alliance. But like that can't even happen because you've got people like Paris and people like, you know, Will and, you know, Veronica's all over the place. So this is a cool dynamic and, I hope we see it continue. So after Allie leaves this, you know, this conversation, it basically starts to really solidify the real deal. They're fully on board. Allie and Olivia are on the block next to each other this week if they win. And like I said, Kayla and Derek also talked about, like, you know, Will and Maddie, they're great people. We really want them on our side. Paris is like, yes, you do. This is great. Which is funny because, you know, Will and Maddie are basically saying like, man, Paris is really going out there right now. We really don't like Derek and Kayla. We really feel like we might want to be going after them at some point. But Paris for now is, you know, the scotch tape holding them all together. And she's been successful so far. Then we get Johnny, who is still confused about all this Allie Olivia talk. He's like, are they doing, like, he doesn't understand that this is all smear tactics at this point. Like, he thinks that they're in the questioning phase. He doesn't understand that they are in the, no, they're going home phase.
Yeah, they're in the guilty conviction sentencing phase.
Exactly. And they don't even want to be proven wrong at this point. But he was like, all right, like, let me go talk to Allie. So he goes and he asks Allie, like, are you going after Derek and Kayla? Like, I feel like that's what I heard. And Allie's like, you heard, oh my God. Oh my God. Ryan, you son of a bitch, Ryan. You must have told them. How else could they know? I've barely told anyone. Allie's freaking out. She's confronting Ryan. Ryan's denying it. She goes to Will, like, are you hearing this, Will? Will's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't heard anything. And so she's like, oh my God, this is bad. She goes to Olivia. Olivia's like, don't worry, but you're probably just being paranoid. She says, no, we're screwed. We need to win HOH next week because I'm pretty sure we're gonna get targeted. And Olivia's just like, nah, I think we're good.
Yeah, you're paranoid, Allie. You didn't hear anything like that. And even though you walked in the room and they all stopped talking, like, it wasn't suspicious at all. Like, Olivia's just whistling past the graveyard. But at least Allie, I'll give her credit. I feel like she's been a little bit unlucky. But at least she's perceptive enough to know that she might be in trouble.
Yeah, I like that she was able to sense that, even though there were clear signs in front of her.
Right.
But I do love when someone is able to figure that out before it's too late. And this is kind of that situation. We do end up seeing her going to talk to Veronica later. Like, she's going to try and save herself. I don't know if it's going to help all that much. I feel like, especially with Paris waking up this morning and just slamming home, we need to win HOH. Don't you guys mess this up. Envision it. Go after it. It's kind of looking bad for her, but it's still soon enough that she can look for it. This is also a situation where once you know you're in danger, you're going to gun for the HOH harder. The fact that that hasn't happened yet, I think we could see Allie really give it her all. I don't know what kind of HOH we're going to be expecting, but I feel like this is something she's going to give it her all for tonight.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I have written down on my paper that, like, Allie, Veronica, and Hamza are the three people that I would like to see win HOH, because I don't know really what any of the three would necessarily do with it. I'm pretty sure that Hamza would try to target the showmance. I just don't know exactly in what method he would use to get there. Veronica, I feel like she could be persuaded a couple different ways. And Allie, if she wins HOH, she's not in danger. Great. What are you going to do with the power? And, you know, are you going to try to fix the mistakes of this past week? I think that would be interesting to see as well.
Yeah, Allie has a lot of time to get herself out from under this mess. Obviously, she has all day today to sort of suss out what's going on. She has the ability to win the HOH, or at least try and get somebody that she trusts to win the HOH. And then, of course, she has the time before the nominations. This is not like, oh, somebody is HOH and now you're finding out that you're in trouble. This is you've got a bit more time on your hands than you normally do. So that's a good thing. Another thing to note is that when she was talking to Will, she did out Johnny as the person that gave her the heads up. She said, Johnny told me that I'm coming for that Kayla heard that I'm coming for Kayla and Derek. So Johnny might get into a little bit of trouble as well if people are thinking like, oh, Johnny's giving her the heads up. Johnny's, warning her. He may just be able to play it off as like, I was confused. I was asking questions. I wasn't sure what was going on. But this, when people are looking for a target, it's not always a great thing to be associated with the two targets. So that could be trouble for Johnny. And then finally, at the end of the day, we before they went to bed, we had the have-nots doing a little prank on the house. Mm-hmm. They wrapped some food and stuff in tin foil. Puya.
Yeah, the good kind of wrap, not that Veronica stuff. Hamza's been waiting for this moment, I feel like, since day one, and he finally got a ragtag group of people to back him up. I have never seen people use their hands this quickly in my life. They walked into the pantry and just went ham. Jesse just quickly wrapping everything. Derek was doing the spice rack. They pretty much did as many food items as they could, dry, not dry, fridge stuff from the cupboards, and they wrapped it all in aluminum, shoved all of it into the fridge, shut the fridge. Within, I want to say, like 20, 25 minutes, they were able to do this. And it was funny because every now and then they thought they'd hear something. One of them would crack open the pantry door, stick their head out. It was clear. The door would shut and they would double speed. They would become faster and faster with everyone. It was pretty fun to watch. I'm not going to lie. I didn't expect to, but I did enjoy that rap.
That's funny. I did not see this. I think I was like falling asleep at the time, but I'm sorry. A prank in the Big Brother house. I can't believe you. You're telling me fake news right now, Puya. Like that never happens, right?
Never, never.
At least it's fun.
They've apparently been discovering it this morning. Ryan apparently thinks it was Marsha, like a Marsha task.
Someone thought it was for a clump. So
they were, I'm pretty sure they were saying like, we're pretty sure Ryan is going to think this is for the HOH competition.
God.
Yeah,
we haven't seen Marsha yet. When Marsha needs to make an appearance, I feel like hopefully this week.
Yes.
And Marsha, you can unblock me on Twitter as well. Yeah.
Tracy in the chat said, I rewound to hear Taryn say, Ryan, you SOB, don't let BB Can hear you. They'll cut your feed.
Yeah. Don't.
Cause they do that.
Canada's watching.
Yeah. Canada's watching.
Come on now.
You can't swear on the live feeds.
Barf. Oh my God. I would never make it. Oh.
All right. Well, I believe that's all we've got for you today. I hope you enjoyed our episode recap / Big Brother live feed update hybrid. This was a lot of fun, guys.
Oh yeah,
a lot of fun.
A great time. I have a question for you guys before we go, because these are, I love my questions. So, who would you guys want to, if you had to pick one person to win HOH tonight, who would you want it to be and why?
I think I would probably go with Veronica. As I stated, I think she could be persuaded by a few different people and she wants to make big moves. And I feel like it would be really fun. I mean, look, it was a bummer losing Kirsten. But just judging Veronica in a vacuum, look, she's not a great game player, but I think she's really fun. Mm-hmm. She's warm. I see why the house guests like her. I would like her if I was in the house with her. So she's just a blast. And I think she would have a lot of fun with her HOH.
Yeah, definitely.
I think I want Hamza to win, just because
your boy.
I think that would be the most fun outcome. I think Ali winning would also be very interesting, but I just want to see Hamza doing his lone wolf thing, and you know, I think that would be a lot of fun. Although I think it would be terrible for his game.
He needs to be like the guy who can never win anything.
Yeah,
you're just like, just never, ever, ever win anything. And like, we'll get rid of him whenever. He just talks a big game, but he can't do squat. And, you know, just let them think that. And maybe he could make his way to a deep run in the game.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Puya is at Puyaism. You can subscribe to this podcast and all of the other Big Brother coverage you do on our big dedicated Big Brother feed on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also subscribe to the Reality TV Rehapups feed. You can also find us on robhasawebsite.com or the Rob Has a Podcast Facebook page, where we were streaming live today and all day. So thank you again, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.
Every morning, Taren Armstrong talk Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.